Hey, boys, how are you?
We're good.
Hey, it's good talking to you. It's been a while.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Did Richie do me dirty like that?
He might have.
Was that what that was?
Yeah, he might have done you dirty because he talks to me every time he calls in. Hey, guys, how you doing? It's Richie in Queens.
He asked how we were doing. I said good. And then he said, yeah, Dibs, nice talking to you. It's been a while.
Might be the second time you got called Dibs from Hunter Pence to Richie in Queens.
No. I did not get called Dibs by Hunter Pence.
Thank you, Dibs. Thank you, Mark.
Mark Willard got called Dibs.
I'm seeing a pattern here, Grandy, where...
No, there's no pattern.
Boom, shadooby, pattern is what it is. that's an old rock and roll song called Shattered that I co-opted there for my own purposes. But yes,
I give
a
you
pattern.
Two.
It's a zero because neither one of you is familiar with the Rolling Stones, and that's fine.
Of course I know the Stones.
Yeah. It's a song called Shattered, which you probably didn't pick up on because it is a more of a deeper track than what you're used to. Like, you can't get no satisfaction. That you understand. And beyond that, probably not much more.
Okay.
Because you're a zygote. But yes, you've been called Dibs now twice.
No. I don't think I got called Dibs either time. Hunter Pence called Mark Willard Dibs, called me Mark, which is correct. And then Richie just ignored me and talked to you. That's all that was.
Thank you, Dibs. Thank you, Mark.
But how would Richie say, or why would Richie say, hey, Dibs, how you doing? I haven't talked to you in a while.
That's a good Richie.
Thank you.
Hey, boys, how are you?
We're good.
Hey, Dibs, it's good talking to you. It's been a while.
It hasn't been a while, Richie. It's been since the last time we had a Giants topic and you called in. And it's funny because I can only see the phone. You actually see the whole board with
the
name, location, and description. Yeah. I just see that, like right now, line two, we have somebody who's going to join us momentarily.
Shout out Jonathan.
But thank you. I don't know who it is or where they're from, but when I see the phone light up in a hot Giants topic, I assume that Richie in Queens is one of them.
And you would have assumed right last segment.
Right, but it doesn't mean that it's been a while since we've talked.
You're right.
Hey, Dibs, how you doing? It's been a while.
Hadn't been a while.
It's been like 3 days, Richie.
Yeah.
But yeah, go ahead.
We love you, Richie. Thanks for listening.
He's the best.
Thanks for listening and calling, Richie. Let's go out to Jonathan in San Leandro, who wants to continue this conversation about the Giants. 888-957-9570. Are we sure the Giants are a good baseball team? Are we sure they still should have postseason expectations? Jonathan, what do you think? Hit us up. Let us know. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, boys? Hey, Dibs, it's been a while.
Nice, Jonathan.
Well played.
Well played. Well done.
Well, anyway, no, good afternoon to you both, and respect to you, brother. I wanted to say, does a bear poop in the woods when we're referring to the Giants a good team? Yes, boys. Now, are they pooping all over themselves right now? Yes, I agree. However, I wanted to point out a few things. A, we're not the only ones going through a mess right now. And I know that, you know, sounds like we're just taking our mess and putting it on others. But no, that goes into, you know, the race. Another thing is that we had Lamont Wade Jr. No offense, that was my guy as he was late night. But after, you know, kind of didn't, you know, fizzled out. We came back from an all-star break with a Chapman who barely just got back right before. And we just got an away game series right after the all-star. My guys, this isn't easy. That's a lot on the boys. And I know it sounds crazy because they're professionals, but yeah, they're also humans. They travel, they go on vacation. So let's give it a little bit more. I say we got, you know, we have the Braves coming up. If we can't, you know, really win one out of there, then I'll call back and we'll have a different conversation. Now, another thing with Devers, I know he's not giving us the show we expected to see immediately, but from everybody, it's that one back end of the trade. Sometimes stars need a second to adjust to where they're at, and that might just be what's happening. And so there, I know that sounds like, oh, well, Jonathan, they're not winning, but I still think they're a good team. When they get it all together, they're going to be firing, and that's all I got for you guys.
Appreciate it, Jonathan. I mean, I think that's fair. It doesn't seem... To Jonathan's credit, he said, well, if they continue to not hit and struggle for a while longer, then yes, maybe we can adjust our expectations or our hope or what we think is going to happen. I would generally agree, though, with Jonathan Dibs. I'm not going to react too strongly to one bad stretch. I mean, this is what happens at times over the course of a baseball season. But when they acquired Rafi Devers, my mind, and maybe this is just the Giants fan in me, kind of ran rampant. It was like, okay, maybe they can even win the division. They catch fire. They might win the National League. Maybe it's just adjusting the expectations from a legitimate contender in terms of winning a World Series to, yeah, things go all right for them. They should be one of the wild card teams. Maybe that's the adjustment that I need to be making right now.
Well, and that's always where I have been. And then you come off a weekend like that. And I know Toronto is a good team. And you mentioned hottest team in baseball. And now they lead the East. And, you know, Jonathan makes a fair point about, you know, you have to go out and you got a road trip right away. Well, you had a homestand before that and you went 3-3. And you had a homestand before that where you weren't very good and you got swept by the Marlins. So I do think it's more circumstantial as opposed to the actual location. And, you know, this weekend you've got two of your best pitchers, your two best pitchers on the mound, and neither one of them was effective enough to get the win. And Robbie Ray yesterday was the one where you were a little bit troubled by that, and he hadn't pitched in a full week. He pitched on the Sunday before the All-Star break, and, you know, he went to the game, fine, you fly to Atlanta, and I don't even know if he flew back home before flying out to Toronto, probably. So
somewhere, maybe not home.
Maybe there's some air miles in there and, yeah, and whatnot, but you got into a spot where Toronto basically cuffed you around, and the couple things really have me troubled. One, you are 12th in baseball in defensive runs saved as a total defense. And if you're going to be pitching in defense, you've got to be higher than the middle third in baseball in maybe the most important metric of defense, defensive runs saved. And since you got Rafi Devers, you're averaging 3.5 runs a game. Before you had Rafi Devers, you were averaging 4.3 runs a game. So you're almost a full run down from when you got Devers, and that is now almost a whole month.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's quietly been a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it has largely been bad, not just for Devers, but for the team as a whole.
Yeah, the whole team is down from 4.3 to 3.5 runs a game, and, you know, you can survive on 3.5 runs a game if your pitching is elite, but the pitching can't be expected to be elite all year long, and you go to Toronto, and you mention it, good hitting team, a hot team, and, you know, 3.5 runs wasn't going to get it done.
No, and spoiler alert, the pitching hasn't been elite for a bit now. Bullpen, starters, combined, everything. It hasn't been elite. It hasn't been terrible, and you're not losing a bunch of games because you're giving up 9 runs a game, although there's been some of those here and there. I mean, Toronto scored 8 yesterday. You scored 6. A couple of those were not on your pitchers, although they went down as earned runs because the ball that was lined to left didn't even touch Ramos's glove, which is the stupidest rule in baseball. If an outfielder or any fielder makes such a terrible play that they don't even get their glove on the ball, that should be an error. That is the most obvious error that I could possibly think of, but because it doesn't touch his glove,
right,
it's a double, and the 2 runs that scored are earned? That doesn't make any sense to me, but the point is, as you talked about, when you have all of these concerns all over your roster and your team, you have to be really elite at one thing. And over the last month, the Giants haven't been elite at any one thing. They've probably been average to below average at almost everything.
Right, and especially when you look at the pitching, and I'm just looking at the splits right now, and they, as a staff, they have a 4.67 ERA in the month of July. And, you know, April and March was a 3.63. May was a 2.64.
2.64.
And even at that, they had a losing record.
In May?
In May. They were 13-14 in May, and they were 13-14 in June with a 3.95, and now in July with a 4.67, they're 7-8. So even though the pitching has been up and down, the record's been largely the same. You've been about 500.
Great April, and then
amazing April. March and April, you were 19-12. And since then, I've got you at 33-36 after that. So,
and it sounds like Giants baseball the last 4 years.
Right. And it's been, you know, you've been a little bit below 500 with elite pitching, good pitching, and now not good pitching. And all of that has added up to be the exact same.
And when you have something like this going on, when, you know, your ace isn't pitching great and some of your bats are struggling and your defense isn't, you know, picking up your pitchers, you need to be great at all the other things. And we were talking earlier with Steiny and Goo about Pat Burrell and the pitching coach, and what does a pitching coach even do, which is a great question. Maybe I should be a pitching coach. It seems like a pretty sweet gig. Just sit there in the dugout all game and give them a pat on the back when things go poorly. But also, Bob Melvin yesterday, I don't know what the hell he was doing with Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray's fourth inning was maybe the worst inning that he has had this season. His first four innings were really, really rough. The third inning was terrible. The fourth inning, he could not find the zone. I was thinking he was going to get yanked from the fourth inning. They didn't even have anybody warming up. And then he comes out for the fifth. Nobody's warming up, and he gives up hits to begin that fifth inning, and they finally get him out of there. But at that point, it's too late. They score four runs in the fifth. You go behind, and you ultimately lose that game by two runs. We just are seeing a team that is not buttoned up, Dibs, at any part of the game of baseball.
And part of that you do admire Bob Melvin for, which is, you know, he's going to let his guys, especially his veterans, go out there and try to work through it. And when they do work through it, you tip the cap to Bob Melvin. But when they don't, it's like you're going to open him up for criticism.
Yeah, I felt like you could see the writing on the wall in that game yesterday specifically. And generally, you're a player's manager. You let your ace go through something like that. But I don't know. That seemed like the wrong decision from the moment it happened, and it turned out that it was. Hey, you want to win a pair of tickets to this Saturday's Giants and Mets game? It's Stephen Curry bobblehead giveaway night, and we have a pair of tickets to give away today, courtesy of Panini. All you need to know for now is be sure you're listening at 4:30 when we'll let you know exactly how you can win. And if you don't win today, we're giving away another pair of tickets to the Saturday game during the show tomorrow. So just keep on listening. It's Willard and Dibs. Dibs and Grandy with you. I got some numbers on the last 30 games for the Giants that you're going to want to hear. We'll get into that and a whole lot more when we continue. Dibs and Grandy here on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, boys. How are you?
We're good.
Hey, Dibs. It's good talking to you. It's been a while.
Jonathan, what do you think?
Hey, what's going on, boys? Hey, Dibs. It's been a while.
Nice, Jonathan.
Well played.
Well played. Well done.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, Jonathan gets a four for that.
For sure.
Yeah, yep. I'll give it to him.
And it is relative. Like, it's been a while. Even if he called Friday, I mean, we had the rest of Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and half of Monday. So it's all relative. I guess it has been, quote, a while.
That's enough time for Kyle Shanahan to not even be sure if you're still alive.
Yeah, fair enough. So, yeah. And we'll get into Shanahan a little bit later.
Oh,
and,
will we?
Well, I mean, tomorrow's the day. Like, the veterans report, question mark?
Yeah.
I mean,
they better report.
Well, and I think they all
got our eyes
will.
On one of them specifically, huh?
And I think he'll report Juwan Jennings, but there's reporting and then there's actually playing, which won't happen until Wednesday. And I got an email, I'm sure you got the same thing, from the Niners with the schedule. And so, as of Wednesday, here we go.
And we were wondering when Kyle Shanahan will be talking. He'll be talking tomorrow. So, tomorrow here on Willard and Dibs, I'm sure you will be hearing Kyle Shanahan degrading reporters' questions. That's back. It's finally that time of year again, Dibs.
It is, and, you know, we'll get into monotone Kyle and stuff, and there'll be ums and stuff.
You'll probably give us your first iteration of your updated Shanahan.
I will.
You'll do your Shanahan again.
I will, and it's going to be much like the Shanahan from last year and stuff, and, you know, it's kind of a...
Give us a taste.
Well, and, you know, as we get into the season and stuff, I mean, we're looking at, you know, hopefully having healthy bodies and stuff, and, you know, camp can only be as good as it can be and stuff, and, you know, I like what I see and stuff, and so... It'll be that sort of thing.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I look forward to it as well, because this year it kind of lines up in many ways for the Niners to be a good, positive bounce-back year.
It better.
Exactly. I'm glad you said that, because I was about to follow up my own statement with or else, because...
If it's not more positive than last year, then we got major problems.
And it really is... for me, it's playoffs or bust, and I know we did the whole Super Bowl or bust thing with Willard and... You know, he clapped back at me on and on and on, and turns out it was Super Bowl or bust, because they busted up a lot of things, like coordinators and linebackers and wide receivers, and so the football team's never going to be the same year over year. I get that, but this schedule, this newly minted quarterback, ninth year of Shanahan and Lynch, and you've been to two already. I'm not saying, ooh, if you don't make it, you're on the hot seat, but I do think that things line up pretty well for the Niners this year.
I think so, too. We'll get into that tomorrow, of course, when we do have veterans reporting, and we'll probably have an update on Juwan Jennings. We'll get an update on Ricky Pearsall and his injury from Kyle Shanahan. So we'll give you all those newsy sorts of things tomorrow. We will also dive into some Niners coming up here in about an hour or so, because it is the day before veterans report to camp. So what are the things that we should be keeping in our eyes on relating to Niners camp? We'll get into that in a little bit here later today on Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. But until then, let's keep it rolling here on the phones and on the Giants. I have some numbers I want to throw out to you and the listeners, Dibs, from the last 30 games for the Giants. That's a pretty big sample size. Not gigantic, but it's not just a series or two series or three series. We're talking about 10 series worth of baseball games. And the numbers are, shall we say, ugly for the Giants. So I'll share that with you coming up in a little bit.
What I'm more intrigued by is your numbers, because you talked about 10 series and what it's been. And, you know, it's been some good and some bad. And ultimately, you look at what this team has been. And I ran down the ERA numbers, and they've gone from unbelievably good to quite frankly, not good, but through all of that, they've been the exact same team, about 500 since the beginning of May.
Yeah. Okay, so the Giants were 41-29, Dibs. They were tied for first in the NL West. That was after that Friday night win in LA versus the Dodgers, a 6-2 win on June 13th. So after that win on June 13th, they were 12 games over and tied for first in the NL West. Ever since then, that includes the final two games of that Dodgers series and everything since then. The Giants, in their 30 games since, 11-19, and they're being outscored 152-108 per game. It's about 5-3.5. So more than a run per game you're being outscored by over the course of 30 games. These 30 games include series against some awful teams, some not great teams, including Cleveland, Miami, the White Sox, Arizona, the A's. Include series versus those teams. Not as if this 30-game stretch was the most difficult stretch of the Giants' season.
Cleveland, below 500. The White Sox, 30 below. The A's, 17 below. And
Miami and Arizona also.
Arizona is a 500 club, thanks to them handling you. And Miami is 6 below.
Yeah. So not, and there are some other teams in that stretch that are good, including the Dodgers. But and the Phillies are also in there. You have some quality teams.
Yep.
The Blue Jays, who you just played. But it's not as if you had just a murderer's row of the best teams in baseball on your schedule over the course of a month. It has not been that case. You threw out the pitching numbers in the month of July. It's odd because this extends into June as well. In that stretch, the 30 games where they were 11-19, their ERA, team-wide, pitching staff-wide, starters and relievers, 4.67 ERA. It would be the 26th best ERA in baseball if that was over the course of the entire season. How about hitting-wise? They have the tied for the worst batting average in baseball over the last 30 games.
Oh, God.
The 25th best on-base percentage, the 28th best slugging percentage, and the 28th best OPS, on-base plus slugging. And over the course of that time frame, since June 13th, the Giants 11-19, Dibs, the only teams with a worse record than the Giants during that
don't
stretch.
Don't say it. Don't do it.
The Pittsburgh Pirates and the Washington Nationals.
That's it?
That's it.
The Rockies are better?
The Rockies, I think they have the same record. They're 11-19.
The Sox are better? The White Sox?
Not worse.
Oh, my God.
The only teams with a worse record since June 13th than the Giants, the Pittsburgh freaking Pirates.
Ooh, careful.
And the Washington Nationals.
Yeah. I mean,
this is 30 games worth of baseball.
That is about 20% of the year, Mark. 20% would be 32.4 games, so we're just shy of 20%, and you've been that. And I was looking at the numbers since they got Devers, which is almost that exact same sample.
Very close.
3.53 runs a game. And so we can look at Devers and say, oh, Devers, you're killing us. But you mentioned it before. It's Jung-Hoo Lee. It's Elliot Ramos who hit a wall. Chapman was hurt. Adames has recently woke up. And, you know, he's had a nice little stretch. But, you know, Patrick Bailey, even though he's delivered a couple of big-time hits, he's barely above 200. Casey Schmidt is streaky. And so when you go up and down that lineup, you've got major, major problems beyond just the highly priced Rafael Devers.
Of course you do. Yeah, you got problems all over the place right now. Now, I say all this, and I will add on, Dibs, our feelings would drastically, drastically change if the next nine games before the trade deadline, and I'm not singling out the trade deadline as a crazy important day, because I don't think what the Giants do over the next nine is going to determine what they do in the deadline, but just the next three series of baseball games. If the Giants go 7-2 in their next nine, and Devers hits four home runs in those nine games, and he's slugging 1,000, or he's OPS is 1,000, or whatever it is, like, we're going to change our feelings pretty darn quickly. That's how quickly these things change. But Dibs, when I looked at these numbers over the course of 30 games, I was just stunned. I don't remember the Giants being that bad. I mean, it's terrible pitching-wise, and it is even worse offensively. It's a miracle they're 11-19 in those 30 with those numbers.
Totally. And I'm surprised that their record, I mean, 11-19, yeah, I could see that because they haven't been consistently very good. But I am surprised that there's only two teams that are worse than the Giants over that same stretch. And again, I don't want to be the Mark Willard of the show, glass half full, but you look at the reality of that 30 games, 11-19, and yet you are only two back in the wild card, and you're only, what, six or six and a half back of the Dodgers in the West.
Six.
The Dodgers haven't been much better, and the Padres haven't been a lot better either. And so even through that stretch, and you would imagine that with your pitching being as good as it is and good as it has been, and your offense, which should be better than it is, you look at all those things, you realize that maybe there's a 19-11 that's coming, because 11-19 is worse than what you've really been for the majority of the year. So you need to, I mean, not wait too long to turn it around, but you feel like there is a turnaround that's there.
Yeah. But I mean, that's a pretty, again, pretty big sample. So I'd again ask 888-957-9570. Are we sure that this is still a good Giants baseball team, a team that is postseason quality? Because the last 30 games, it is a very, very clear no answer, and it's not particularly close. Now, by having the good start that they've had, Dibs, in April, March and April, they've bought themselves the ability to survive something like this. But to your point, if you have a stretch like this and you're not just great throughout the entire rest of the season, you're going to have a stretch where you play really, really good ball for a month. Otherwise, you're going to be looking up at some of these other teams when they don't have a terrible stretch like this, although there are some other teams in the NL that are. The Mets are going through something very similar right now. They have really struggled for the last month or so. In fact, I think they have the same exact record as the Giants over the last 30 at 11-19. They haven't been great either of late. They are in a little bit of a different circumstance for the Giants, but they're in a relatively similar spot. But you're going to have to, you're kind of killing the room for error that you had by going on a stretch like this, because almost the rest of the way you have to be not perfect, but pretty damn close to perfect in order to make the playoffs.
You just have to be better, and I'm thinking about the start where they opened up 12-4, and you know, you went and you played in Yankee Stadium, you won 2 of 3.
Yeah.
Then you won the opener against Philadelphia, Roop, and you put up 10 runs, you were 12-4. And since that time, you are 40-44. So you haven't been terrible over 84 games, which is a little bit more than half a year. You haven't been terrible, but you've been damn mediocre. The same mediocre you were last year, the year before that, and the year before that. And you and I did this during the break where the last 3.5 years, 22, 23, 24, and half of this year, more than half of this year, you're 2 games below .500. And you've played
all, in the aggregate, all of those added up.
In the aggregate of 3.5 years, which is almost 600 baseball games, jeez, you are 2 games below .500. So I always say this to Willard, and he doesn't love it, but in this case, I think it's accurate when I say you are what your record says you are. When you talk about 3.5 years of baseball, and that's 162 times 3 plus 100, that is almost 600 games. And you are about 290 and 292. So hello, Giants. If you want to make something happen in this year, you got 62 of these left to go. You need to go more than 31-31. I don't think that 31-31 right now gets you there. That would get you to 83-79. That's not a playoff team, Mark.
No, so I told you on Friday, the current pace for the third wild card team was
you gave yourself homework, and you did the homework.
I did.
I admire that.
36-29 was the target for the Giants to get to 88 wins. And an 88-win pace right now gets you the third wild card spot. With three losses now, you have to go 36-26 to get to 88 wins. Which is not like an absurd number.
No.
10
no.
games over in you know, the rest of the season, but 36-26. You got to be 10 games over in what? A third of a season, almost, when you've been only four games over in the other two-thirds of the season. Like, you're going to have your best stretch of baseball for the rest of the season to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and, I mean, 10 games over, and if you look at, you know, the 12-4 start, well, that's eight games over, which is kind of the way you need to go about it. And if you think about the early part of the year, you had Cincinnati, you won the series. You swept Houston, you won the series against Seattle. You lost the series against Cincinnati at home, but then you won the series against the Yankees. You were 11-4. You went 4-1 in series to start the year. So that really is, if I'm Bob Melvin and I'm looking at where we are now with 62 to go, I'm telling the fellas, we got to win series. Don't worry about winning 10 of 12. Or winning 17 of 25, or whatever the numbers are that you just laid out. You need to be 10 over the last 62, and that's true, most likely, but how about you take 2 of 3 in this next series, and then you take 2 of 3, and then 2 of 3. If you win series, you're going to be eventually in the spot where you want to be.
Those numbers that you threw out, the Giants are two games under, two games over?
Two games under, I believe, yeah.
Under 500 over the last 3.5 years. I know that, you know, Farhan being sent out and going back to L.A. and Buster coming in, I know it wasn't going to change. I think the vibe and the general feel have changed. I know it wasn't going to transform the team overnight, although you look at the roster now and it does feel a whole lot more talented than it has been probably at any point under Farhan. I think we could say that, which is why this four games over feels like a disappointment compared to being 500 last year or 2 years ago or 3 years ago, honestly felt like overachieving. I knew that the wins and losses weren't necessarily going to change immediately, Dibs, but it is just pretty darn frustrating to come from that Farhan experience and now 100 games into this year. Largely, the win total reflects what it had been generally under Farhan, too. It's a frustrating route to getting to that total.
It's the reality of Farhan or Buster, Gabe or Bob, whatever you want to assign to it. And that's why I was pushing back a little bit on Guru and the whole idea about the hitting coach, because you largely have the same hitters that you've had. And in fact, this hitting team is better. And so I wonder what the hitting coach can do other than help you look at film, help you look at your swing. Ultimately, these guys have to go out there and hit the baseball, and Rafi Devers has been here long enough in baseball, and Adamas the same, and Chapman the same. These are professional hitters.
Well,
I don't know, it would be like our boss, Matt Nahegian, coming in here and talking to us, you and me and whoever else, about how to pronounce consonants. It's like, I mean, you can help me sharpen my topics, you can help me sharpen my points, and you can help our show in general deliver good quality content, but you're not going to come in here and tell me how to pronounce the letter K, for example. Your Dibs, look, your K's are a little too hard. Your M's are a little soft. That's what you're asking a hitting coach to do to professional hitters.
Okay, well then what makes a good hitting coach? What qualities do good hitting coaches have?
Probably just working with...
More like emotional support?
It's not like he's a support animal. Like, Pat Burrell gets to, you know, go on an airplane with one of those funky vests
but,
on.
But hitting, and baseball hitting specifically, is such a mental game.
Right.
Is it, I don't know, just making sure that your players mentally are okay? Like, I don't know. Like, what?
Yeah, I think it's that, and also, this is something that we could actually ask Hunter Pence next time we have him on.
We should.
Is... You know, I think it's partly that. It's also being able to show film to a guy and say, hey, look, you know, you're 0 for your last 12 or you're 2 for your last 17. Here's what I'm seeing with your bat placement, your barrel placement, your foot placement, whatever it is, you know, your load and all the rest of it. If you're a good hitting coach, you can show film for, hey, this is when you were hot. look what you were doing then, look what you're doing now. I think it's more of that as opposed to, you know, you need to choke up or move closer to the plate. I think it's more detailed than that.
But it's also like game plan specific, like, oh, you're going against Bryce Elder today in Atlanta. This right. is what Bryce likes to throw. Watch for this in 2-1 counts. Watch for this in 0-2 counts, yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, I don't need Pat Burrell to – not like Pat Burrell is the one compiling those reports. They have people compile those reports, and they send them off to whoever that then delivers it to the players. I don't think you necessarily need Pat Burrell to do that, or any hitting coach for that matter. I'd just be curious what a big leaguer would say what makes a good hitting coach, because baseball players also, Dibs, tend to be the kind of guys that, like, I don't know, there's a lot of them that are hands off. Don't tell me about my swing. I know my swing. I know what feels good. I know what works. If it's not working, I'm going to adjust. I'm going to go down to the cage and just hit some balls off the tee myself until it feels good. I'm going to figure my own way through this. Now, obviously, Dibs, everybody is different, but I don't really know. For a lot of hitters, I don't really know what a hitting coach does on a day-in and day-out basis for that player. It almost feels so much more to me like it's an individualized process for a lot of big league hitters.
Yes, and I do think that for younger hitters, you probably work with the younger hitter more than you do the veteran. For example, Luis Matos, who is, you know, relatively new to the bigs. I know he's played a little bit in the past, but this year, if you're Pat Burrell, you're working with the Matoses more than you are the Adamases and the Devers, I would imagine. You know, if a veteran hitter comes to you and says, you know, what are you seeing? What do you think is my problem? You'll break it down with those guys, but I think the hitting coach is much more attuned to the younger hitter and helping them figure out, okay, this is what I'm seeing, and this is what pitchers are actually doing to you. Sit down here and let's look at some of the video of why, you know, you're getting out. And I think about Jung-Hoo Lee, who he's kind of been solved a little bit by major league pitchers, and hopefully Pat Burrell is working with Jung-Hoo Lee and his interpreter to help him figure out, like, what pitchers are doing to get him out so frequently now.
He has been better of late. And the Giants, they're going to absolutely need that, because without Jung-Hoo Lee, who's back in the leadoff spot today, it's kind of the question or the issue that you laid out during the crossover. Even if your three dudes are hitting well, and they haven't been yet, Devers, Adamas, and Chapman, if those three are hitting well, you can't win a lot of baseball games with just three hitters. You're going to need more. It's what makes the Dodgers so incredibly tough, because once you get through Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman, you still have to go through Will Smith, who's leading the National League in batting average, and Teoscar Hernandez, and Andy Pajas, who now suddenly is an all-star. Like, they beat you because their three are better than almost any other three in the game, but then also their 4, 5, and 6 are pretty darn good, too.
Yeah, and I think when you're the Giants, not only playing in this ballpark, but having the roster constructed the way it is, and I'm looking right now at the numbers, and you are, let me say, 30, 29, 20, you are 25th in baseball in home runs. You've got 81 home runs
Sounds
in 100
right.
games, which is .81 per game. My math right there was spot on.
Nice.
You're actually ahead of the Padres in overall home runs.
Padres are a weird team, too.
Super weird. And yet they're ahead of you. But the teams below you are the White Sox. They stink. The Pirates are terrible. And the Kansas City Royals. They have 58 home runs, the Royals. So the
wow.
Giants don't have a lot of power. And during the crossover, we talked about your batting average with runners in scoring position. And the Giants are bottom 8 in that category. Not only are they bottom 8 in batting average with runners in scoring position, they don't get a lot of those at-bats. They're, I think, bottom 5 in the number of at-bats they have in those situations. So when you do get those at-bats, you don't deliver, you don't hit a lot of home runs. So offensively, you have to be able to do all the other little things, and this team just doesn't do that.
Yeah, they don't. Time for a break. When we come back, we can get it. I mean, the deadline's 10 days away. What should the Giants do with the trade deadline? I got thoughts. We got time for your thoughts if you want to weigh in. Giants at the deadline. What should their plan be? Should they buy? Should they sell? Should they just stand pat? 888-957-9570. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. It's Dibs and Grandy with you right here on Willard and Dibs.